Blog Talk Radio.
You have put a new song in my mouth. A song of praise. A sound that resonates, that all of heaven and earth may worship you. We tread the hills to meet with you, to see your majesty in all that surrounds us. For it speaks and displays the eternal God of ages, creator, author, victor. In love, you established an everlasting covenant with your people, and it's your love that captivates us. As children of the King, we rush in as waves unrestrained. Overcome, overwhelmed, that the King crowned in glory and splendor would reach down to place a crown upon our heads. So we raise our banner, the banner we boldly stand under, the banner of Jesus Christ. From dusk to dawn, from age to age, your praise resounds in all the earth. Deliverer, Redeemer, ruler of an everlasting kingdom that cannot be shaken, we trust in the name of Christ Jesus, the only King, forever.
Welcome to Zion's Redemption Radio. This is Fundamentally Mormon. I'm your host, Mark Lichtenwalter. The guest call-in number is 917-889-8827. That's 917-889-8827. You can find this at blogtalkradio.com/fundamentallymormon. And the text will also be posted on my Facebook wall at facebook.com/LAZURUS1977. You can also find the text and the audio to this radio program on iTunes at Fundamentally Mormon and in the different Facebook groups that I am an admin of. Some of those groups are LDS Last Days Prophecy and Gospel Discussions, LDS Gospel Mysteries, Latter-day Unity, and others. You can find the pages that I admin also on my Facebook wall. And if you enjoy this program, please friend request me or follow me and make me one of your close friends. We try to put out as many episodes as we can during the week. But I'm thankful for you to be here today. Let's get right into the reading. Today, we are going to be reading out of Ogden Kraut's books. You can find his books for free to read online at ogdenkraut.com. That's ogdenkraut.com. That's ogdenkraut.com.
Shalom Aleichem. This is Mark Lichtenwalter. This is the 21st day of March 2020, and tonight we're going to be continuing on with reading Kingdom of God, Volume 1. We're in Chapter 6, starting on page 70 and going through to 75, and the chapter title is Free Agency. And we're just going to get right into the reading. This chapter isn't as long as the last one, so we should be able to get through it probably about an hour, maybe less. All right, let's just get right into the reading. Thank you, everyone, for listening. The God who gave us life gave us liberty at the same time. And this is from Wisdom of Thomas Jefferson. Quote, I have sworn upon the altar of God eternal hostility against every form of tyranny over the mind of man. End quote. Wisdom of Thomas Jefferson, pages 22 and page 182. What was the war in heaven all about? It wasn't about smoking, nor drinking, nor which day was the true Sabbath, nor the kind of job or salary we would like. The dispute was not over where we would live, nor who we would be friends with. The battle was over freedom and free agency, the same thing over which nearly all wars are fought. Wars usually begin with someone wanting to rule over someone else. That means one person might give up certain rights, privileges, and freedoms to the other. This may be necessary during times of employment, as we usually don't have a choice about the hours, salary, location, conditions, etc. of which we work. But we do have the freedom to change jobs or to be self-employed or even unemployed. Throughout the world, we have seen men rise in power, such as Adolf Hitler, Joseph Stalin, Tajo, or Mao Zedong, who have enforced their evil powers on their own nations and others as well. These men created rebellion, war, and dictatorship after the manner of Lucifer, or actually after the manner of Satan, because we've talked about this before. Lucifer was the title he had, which means bringer or bearer of light and truth, and he became Satan. So he had that Lucifer title stripped from him and was called Satan after that, and another was chosen to be the bearer of light and truth. Page 71. Those who are motivated by the desire to rule over others primarily do so because of personal vanity. They believe they have superior intelligence and that others are incapable of inadequately governing themselves. And we see that even with our own politics. The last administration, Obama, he talked about that we didn't have the right to be free. And he tried to implement rules where they could take our freedoms away from us. And this actually is what the Democratic Party is trying to do at this time in the history of our nation and this earth at this time. Anyway, continuing on. I got to say something. A lot of things that the Democrats are trying to do, they seem really good. But in order for them to implement their changes, they have to take away the rights and freedoms of others to do them, a lot of them. It's like the Arabs out in the desert, whenever a storm would come, they knew that if they allowed the camel to stick its nose underneath the wall of the tent, that camel would inch its way in until there was only room for the camel inside the tent and everybody else was forced out. So they knew that they shouldn't even give the camel an inch. And it's the same thing with these socialist, communistic rulers that want to do all these great things. But Satan, he wants to give you nice things too. But it's not really to help you. It's to bring you into bondage and to take away your rights and your freedoms away from you. It's like with drugs. I mean, you start out smoking cigarettes, as I did when I was 12 years old. And then you start drinking a little bit, and then you start doing other things, and you want to try, you know, just a little weed isn't going to hurt, and then you start spicing your weed with cocaine or with other drugs, and then you get into harder drugs. And the reason I know this is because between the ages of 12 to 19 years old, that was the path I chose. I was on my own by the time I was 16, not because I left home, but because the people who were in charge of taking care of me, they actually moved away when I was at work. They pulled me out of school. It was 1 month before the end of 10th grade. I never went back to high school. They pulled me out of school and put me in a place, a mobile home, single-wide mobile home in Kaysville, Utah. And then it was a month or two later, I came home from work, and they were gone. And they said on the counter, actually, there was a note that said that I wasn't their responsibility. So I started drinking a lot. And then luckily, I was able to get into a thing called Job Corps, where I was able to get trade training. I got my GED. And I got that. And then when I got out, when I was 18, I was really depressed because of what I had been through. And I started drinking and smoking again. And I actually smoked the whole time I was in Job Corps. Something interesting, when you are on a federal facility, at least back then, like we could buy cigarettes and smoke them on campus when we were 16. And when I got out of Job Corps, I started drinking and smoking and using drugs to escape my depression, basically. And I got into smoking weed with cocaine laced in it, and then got into crack and did some other things. So I understand how little things lead to bigger things, and they lead to bigger things. And it's kind of like the camel and the nose of the camel in the side of the tent. You know, you start letting certain things come into your society, and these people will keep on pushing these good things to help society. But what they're really trying to do is to gain power and control over your lives. And I'm completely against that. At this time of my life, I just I see how wicked it can be. Before the Democrats tried to do all these social programs, you had churches that would help people. Like today, I go to a church that I am a Mormon. I believe in Joseph Smith. But because of the hostility of the church in Emory County, we do not attend the Mormon church, which I really miss. But we just don't put ourselves in that situation, especially with what happened over the last couple of years in Orangeville, Utah, which is a town right by Castlebell and near Huntington. And we still live in the area, but we live away from that stake, with a hostile stake president and the hostile bishop and the hostile ward members. So a lot of, they spread a lot of rumors about me that weren't true. And so anyway, so we go to a Pentecostal church now, and I really love their philosophy. Their mission statement is love God, love people, change the world. And they really try to do that. They have drug and alcohol, Narcotics Anonymous, programs. They're called Celebrate Recovery. They do food pantries in East Carbon and in Price, and they are always trying to help out the people around the community. And the pastor there, he teaches pretty much correct principles. There's some things that I could say, could argue with him about, but I don't. But I do talk when I go to the Sunday school classes, and I enjoy their companionship. And I don't even know why I got on that topic, but I miss going to the LDS church. It's just that for some reason, the LDS church, the stake president in the Castledale stake was pretty hostile towards me when we first moved down. And even before we moved down, I used to bring the mail down, and the postmaster in Farron, Utah, which was my second, the last stop every day, I said some things which started rumors, and like before you knew it, like the whole county knew about me, and I started having major problems with different postmasters at the different post offices. Some of them weren't so bad. Like the postmaster in Castledale, he could care less about what he heard about me. He liked me personally. And that, you know, there was some postmasters and workers up in Price where I would bring all of Carbon County's mail when I was coming down through Carbon to deliver their mail, Carbon County. But then others were very hostile. It's part of the reason I started driving a coal truck, because one of the senior carriers there at the post office in Price, her husband owned a couple of trucks, and they had a spot that they could allow me to drive. And so I quit doing the post office, which was kind of hard. I mean, I was making $26.80 an hour, I think $26.87 an hour, doing the post office. And I sometimes, like the other day, I had to go get the truck fixed, and I worked 13 to 14 hours, somewhere in between 13 and 14 hours, the day that I had to get the truck fixed. Once in the shop, and then the other time the owner of the truck had to come out. I made $8.83 an hour that day. And there's other days when I got to deal with snow or other problems, and I only make like $10 or $15 an hour. If I'm really lucky, I might make up to $23, but we get paid by the load, so we don't get paid for sitting around, even if the truck's broke down. But anyway, like I said, I don't know why I got into all of that, but let's get back to the reading and try not to get off on so many weird tangents again. Men in government often think they know what's best for the people, and they try to force everyone into a certain mold, virtually a slave system. Temporal slavery and spiritual slavery are very similar, as in both instances, the leaders require total submission of their subjects. Satan wanted to guarantee, well, Lucifer at that time before he lost his title, Lucifer wanted to guarantee spiritual salvation for all of his subjects, but this could be achieved only by submission to him and his totalitarian system. Today we have the New World Order supporters who are promoting a totalitarian temporal salvation for the people. This concept of a New World Order is really not new, but was devised by Lucifer even before the world was inhabited. The difference between these two plans was a matter of individual agency, free agency. And I, the Lord, and this is Moses chapter 4, and I, the Lord, God, or Jehovah, your Elohim, spake unto Moses, Moshe, saying that Satan, whom thou hast commanded in the name of mine only begotten, is the same which was from the beginning. And he came before me, saying, behold, here am I, send me, and I will be thy son, and I will redeem all mankind, that one soul should not be lost. And surely I will do it, wherefore give me thine honor. See, he wanted to be the Redeemer. He wasn't satisfied with his role as the light bearer or the witness. He thought that he should take Yeshua's place, or who the Gentiles called Jesus Christ's place. And that wasn't his place to take. It was the Father's to give, and Yeshua is ready for that role. Continuing on, but behold, my beloved Son, which was my beloved and chosen from the beginning, said unto me, Father, thy will be done, and the glory be thine forever. Wherefore, because that Satan rebelled against me and sought to destroy the agency of man, which I, the Lord God, had given him, and also that I should give unto him mine own power, by the power of mine only begotten, I caused that he should be cast down. Moses chapter 4, verses 1 through 3. We're on page 72. Satan's plan was to have everyone ruled by a leader similar to the childhood game of follow the leader. The leader would rule by law and force if necessary and would have total control. People would trust him implicitly and would give him power over their salvation. Those who followed him would be saved, the only requirement being to relinquish their free agency. But without free agency, a man would be of no more worth than a piece of machinery. See, in order to progress, we have to go through all kinds of different stuff. We have to go through hard things. We have to go through easy things. We have to experience all kinds of stuff. And in order for us to progress and to learn, we had to have our free agency to learn and to grow. So, real quick, I am sitting here at my wife's school. It is 11:40 at night. on the 21st of March, 2020, and I helped her set up so the kids aren't in school anymore. But they're still being taught. They're doing this homeschool type of thing, but she still has to teach the kids. And she wanted to make a bunch of videos, so I helped her in her classroom to make a bunch of videos and to set up a backdrop and everything so that she could do this stuff. And she's in there right now taking care of that business. And I'm sitting out here right by her door in our car, and I am watching about 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6 deer eating the grass on the playground about maybe about 50 feet from the car. And now they're all looking at me because we have a hybrid, and I have to have the heater on because it's 37 degrees outside. And so because we have a hybrid, the car turns on and off on its own, and it just turned on, and all the deers like popped their head up and looked over at me, and I've got my headlights on. So they know I'm sitting over here, but it's kind of cool. You never know where I'm going to be broadcasting from because I could be anywhere. Part of the reason I don't do live streams right now is because we can't. It's just the internet problem, and now the kids are home all day long, and they're using the internet to do schoolwork, and my wife is using the internet to do her classroom work for teaching her first graders, so it's difficult. Anyway, and then I can do these podcast recordings by calling into the studio, and that's what I'm doing right now. So I just thought it was kind of cool. I'm sitting here watching all these deer walking around and just eating the grass in the playground. Anyway, let's see if we can get back on track here. I mean, I am so horrible at doing this. My wife, when she comes on and reads, she just reads. And she doesn't give hardly any commentary. And I understand that's probably the best way to do it. But that's not who I am. And I'm a truck driver, and I talk. And I like to add details, and I go off on tangents. And you can imagine how my companions were when I was on a mission, because I would go off on tangents, and they'd be like, stick to the script. Well, I had my own way to teach, and I was actually more successful in my mission than any of the other missionaries, so much to the point where when I called back to the mission field because I found out some medical bills hadn't been paid when I was covered under the church's insurance. I called back 3 years later after everybody that was in my mission at the time was gone. I think that the president was still President Tuller. And when I called the mission office, I told them who I was. Everybody in the mission office knew me because I was that effective as a teacher. Of course, I was a Baptist when I met the missionaries and I converted and everything, so I kind of understood how to talk to Baptists, and I served my mission in Macon, Georgia back in the late 90s. Anyway, all right, people, let's see here. All right, let's get back to the reading. But without free agency, a man would be of no more worth than a piece of machinery. You don't push or you don't punish or reward machinery, nor do you reward or punish someone who is forced to act like a robot. Joseph Fielding Smith explained that the importance of free agency when he stated, agency essential to salvation. The Lord has given to man his agency. That is a divine principle. It is inherent, born with us. We have it because the Lord gave it to us in the spirit world. It is the only principle upon which exaltation can come. It is the only principle upon which rewards can be given in righteousness. Satan's plan in the beginning was to compel. He said he wanted to save all men, not one soul should be lost. He would do it if the Father would give him the honor and the glory. But who wants salvation when it comes through compulsion? If we have not power within ourselves to choose and to act according to the dictates of our conscience, what would salvation mean if you were compelled? And so that great gift of agency has been given to us. By it, we may climb to the heights. We may enter the kingdom of God and sit on a throne and be exalted as sons and daughters of God, but we must be obedient. Doctrines of Salvation, Joseph F. Smith, page 70. I'm going to try to, it's really hard to see the text because it's so small on my screen, and I have tried everything to make the text bigger. So I'm going to try to open up OgdenCrowd.com and just read it right off the internet. And I know that when I read it right off OgdenCrowd.com, I can actually see it better. It's going to take me a minute to get to it, though. Let's see. I'll find in page. Find in page. And then we'll do a bracket. Where's those brackets at? Okay, here we go. Well, it's a little bit better. It's not the greatest, but which is too bad. Hold on here. Oh, I wish I had better equipment to do this with, but it's the way it goes sometimes. So, all right, here. And see if I can just do one more thing to try to make this text bigger so I can see it better. That's a little bit better. So, all right, I'll continue. The devil knew that if he presented the reality of his program, it would sound terrible. If people knew how miserable they would be without freedom, no one would join. So the devil had to camouflage and lie about his plan of salvation, which was really a plan of damnation. According to Orson Pratt, quote, and we're on page 73 for those of you reading along, and you know what? The reason why I give you the links and the places to find this is so if you don't want to hear my commentary, that doesn't upset me at all. But if you're interested in this stuff, you can go read this for yourself for free. You can listen to these podcasts and internet radio programs where you're driving or doing dishes or whatever, if that's what you choose. But you can sit down and actually read this for yourself. In fact, you can contact Kevin Kraut with the information on the main page of OgdenCrowd.com and get some of these books to have in your library to read for yourself. So you don't have to rely upon me reading it to you. But you can also read it on the internet, or you can listen to me read with all my wonderful commentary. But anyway, Orson Pratt stated, if Satan had been permitted to carry out his plan, it would either have destroyed the agency of man so that he could not commit sin, or it would have redeemed him in his sins and the wickedness without any repentance or reformation of life. If the agency of man were destroyed, he would only act as he is acted upon, and consequently, he would merely be a machine, and his actions would have neither merit nor demerit, so far as he was concerned, and could neither be punished nor rewarded, and would produce neither misery nor joy. Destroy the agency of man, and you destroy the mainsprings of his happiness. And that's in Orson Pratt's book, The Seer, page 52, which I love that book. That's another book you can go check out. I think you can find it on the internet to read, to buy or to read. Might want to check Amazon out for that. I read it online. Somebody posted it. I don't know if that link's still up, and it was a while ago, but it's a good book, though. People, you should go take a look at it. All right, let's get on. Continuing. One of the main differences between those who seek to do evil and those who choose to be righteous is their idea of what brings true happiness. For example, the criminal thinks he will be happy by stealing worldly things from others. The righteous think that they will be happy by honest work and serving others. Alma explained that wicked never was happiness, Alma chapter 41, verse 10. But sometimes it takes several bad experiences for people to learn such simple lessons. All right. In 2 Nephi, it states, "Wherefore, men are free according to the flesh, and all things are given them which are expedient unto man, and they are free to choose liberty and eternal life through the great medium of all men, or to choose captivity and death according to the captivity and power of the devil." 2 Nephi chapter 2, verse 27. The devil made hell sound like heaven, and he made heaven sound like hell. The devil's proposition for a perfect society was probably described in the same way that Paul Harvey described a little paradise island. He said, in effect, "Have you ever been so tired of your hustling, rushing, hectic society that you just wanted to get away and to some little island where you didn't have to worry about all the daily problems? On that little island, there would be no need to worry about obtaining food or clothing or housing." We're on page 74. "There were no unions, salesmen, telephone, and business problems to keep you awake at night. It would be a little island where you didn't have to work, to struggle with bills, taxes, nor business competition. There were no worries about paying for utilities, insurance, doctors, dentists, nor car repairs. Doesn't it sound like paradise?" He went on to say that there was such an island. It was called Alcatraz. It had a wonderful security system, and everything was taken care of for you. The only cost for living there was your liberty. Free agency was the most important gift from God to his children. No one was to be denied that right in their premortal life or here on earth. Even the devil and all his hosts enjoy those same rights. Wilford Woodruff stated, quote, "The Lord never has yet taken from Satan or Lucifer, the son of the morning," which drives me nuts. Lucifer was the son of the morning. That is a title that was stripped from him. He became Satan, who is not a son of the morning. He is not the evening star or the last witness or the witness of the Father. Two completely different titles. It's like, you know, when you have a title of something and then you're stripped from that title, like if you're an officer, if you're a sheriff, and you do something to be stripped of that title, nobody's going to call you sheriff anymore because you're not a sheriff. You're probably, if you did something to be stripped of that title, you're probably a convict. You know, we'll call you that from now on. So, like a sheriff does something to be stripped of their title of sheriff, and it's so bad that they go to prison and they become a felon or a convict or an ex-con, well, you don't call them sheriff anymore, right? So why do they call him Lucifer? Okay, this is awesome. The herd of deer, there's babies with them. They're little baby fawns. I see one. I don't know if there's another. These deer out here in the Rocky Mountain West, they actually, a lot of times, I've seen them this time of year, and they'll have twins with them, following them around. Oh, I love them. I love watching the babies. When I worked out in the oil fields, when I worked out in the oil fields, I worked on an Indian reservation for the Ute tribe a lot, and they've got wild feral cattle and deer and elk and moose and bears and foxes and bobcats and Oh, I've heard of cougars being out there. I never saw them. Although I have a funny story about that, where my boss climbed up to the top of a tank to check the measurements inside the tank for the condensate and the oil and the water. And there was a cougar sitting up on top of the tank just sunbathing. There was three tanks put together, and he, like, slowly backed down, you know, but there's feral horses out there and all kinds of animals, and they would all have their babies in the spring, and then they would also have sheep herders bring their sheep out there, and they'd give birth to the babies while they were out there in the spring, and you'd have these bouncing lambs bouncing all over the place up and down the hills and cliffs, and I loved it. And it's kind of funny because so my name's Mark Lichtenwalter. My initials are ML, and there was one large group of sheep where the sheep herders spray painted on each sheep to keep track of their sheep ML. So everybody teased me about how they were my babies. Oh, I love it. Anyway, sorry, I'm distracted, but all right, let's see here. Oh, and we're almost done anyway, so. The Lord never has taken from Lucifer, the son of the morning, his free agency. He still holds it and will hold it until he is bound with the keys of death and hell. Discourses of Wilfred Woodruff, page 217. And then the last paragraph here. So if the war in heaven was fought over the principle of free agency, how greatly we should value that gift here and not just willingly relinquish it to some other mortal as Satan promoted in his plan in the pre-existence. So, and that's why I don't like politics, and I don't like Republicans for everything, and I don't like Trump for everything, but I see the lies that they say, the Democrats try to twist everything, and it's all about politics and power. And I see how they have, I am a student of history, and I see how they have lied to get their tax proposals and stuff. You know, there's things that back in the 20s and 30s, they talked about, oh, just we're going to pass these bills for these relief funds and all this. And as soon as these things are taken care of, we're not going to worry about it anymore, and we're going to, you know, to stop the taxes, and they never did, and they never do. As soon as they got their nose in the tent, they keep pushing and pushing and pushing, and that's the way it is, and that's why the way it always has been. So, which is really unfortunate. Anyway, so that's the end of that reading for today. Tomorrow, oh come on, tomorrow we're going to come back and. Wow, I don't even know where I am anymore. Where in the world am I? Oh my gosh, it flipped to somewhere completely different than where I was to begin with. Let's see, so we're on chapter 6, and it's got me on chapter 9 now. It doesn't matter. Anyway, let me check to see if we have any guest callers, anybody with questions or comments. And no, we don't. And it looks like we haven't even been on for a whole hour. So, you know, not every program is going to be an hour long. Some of them are 3 hours long, and some of them are, you know, 30 minutes long. So, anyway, tomorrow we will come back on with Kevin Kraut and Friends at 8 o'clock Mountain Standard Time, which is 7 Pacific. And we'll come on, and it'll probably be about a two-hour program, which is usually how long they're on the call for. So I hope that you enjoy the program. Thank you for listening, everyone. Take care. God bless. And goodbye.